Hey everybody, what's going on? We've got another episode of Touchline Podcast, episode 25, which we don't have a 25 on RSL this season, so it's the unnamed player episode. I'm Rich. We got Brett here.
Hello. Yeah, Brett.
And yeah, we're excited to talk a little bit of RSL here near the end of the season. We're going to touch on the last couple of games, Portland, the Champions League game against Municipal, the last game of the season coming up, which is against Seattle Sounders in Seattle, and then just a couple of miscellaneous things here and there. So to start out, we've had two home games in the last week, and we came out on the short side 1-0 losers on both of them, which pretty much killed our, which did kill our playoff hopes, especially the first one really doused that.
Yeah.
Small chance that we had against Dallas. You know, my thoughts on those games, I really thought, I mean, the Dallas game, I thought, was pretty undeserved win by them. You know, the first half, I thought we played amazing, except for our finishing. Our finishing was suboptimal, if I can steal a Men in Blazers term. You know, we had several, you know, either one-on-ones or wide-open chances that we just missed. But other than that, I don't know what the final stats were for the first half, but, I mean, they had to have been 70, 80% possession. It wasn't even...
If I remember right, when they did the stats at halftime, RSL was like 71% possession that game halftime.
It was crazy. I mean, Dallas had the ball zero in the first half.
And it wasn't even, was lonely.
Yeah, it wasn't even like they were trying to counter. They would just get the ball and give it right back to us. But the second half was a lot more back and forth. We didn't play as well. But still, that when they that goal, I saw it like as soon as that play started to develop, even though it was on the other end from where I sit, I was just like, oh, crap. Just the way that the center backs were spaced out and where the Dallas forward was, I was like, this is not good. So,
yep.
Good on them for taking advantage.
No, I agree. I was watching it on TV, and right before he kicked that through ball, I just knew. You just looked at it, and you're like, it's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just watched it, and you knew it before it even took on because guys were just out of position, and it sucked.
Yeah, right before, like, I think it came off a throw-in, and right when the player got the ball, I was just like, you know, I don't, maybe it was Olave, whoever was on that side, I was just like, get closer, ah, crap, you know, because this is too far apart, so.
Yeah.
I mean, so it was exciting that, I don't know what Dallas's issue was, why they were so out of it. I mean, they didn't look like the top team in the West at all that night. And then, you know, the Portland game was pretty similar. I don't think, again, kind of like the last time they were here, they didn't deserve the win, I don't think. I don't know.
Both of their games should have gone either probably a tie. I mean, this last one, even though ProRef came out and was like, yeah, we did the wrong call and everything like that, that's a game that probably should have ended in tie because even when we were down one goal, offensively, we weren't making anything work the way we needed to.
Yeah. I got confused. The Portland game was first and then we had the Dallas game, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, because I was like, wait.
Dallas game should have been a tie also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Well, I mean, that first half, we should have been up 2-3-0. Mm-hmm. And then the second half wouldn't have mattered, but yeah, the Portland game, you know, and like you said, Pro came out and said that the red card was right, which it was, which, but I mean, Olave was dumb by him to do that. But the penalty, you know, obviously was clearly outside the box. So, you know, who's to say that, you know, if we just got a red card, not a PK, you know, how that game would have ended up.
Yep.
Goals obviously change games, and if it was still 0-0, but we had 10, you know, only 10 guys, I don't know if Portland would have scored, or if we would have been able to score, maybe it would have ended 0-0, but
yeah.
we've been on the short end of the stick on a bunch of those, it seems like, this year.
Yeah. Which, I mean, as I was watching the game, it was the Dallas game. It was kind of the entire season as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It just wrapped up into one game where we just had moments of brilliance, but it just wasn't paying off for us. And then minor mistakes is what killed us on the goal and pretty much ended the season for us. So, I mean, if you want to know how the entire Real Salt Lake season went, just watch the game, and that's exactly how it went.
Yeah. Segments of really high potential followed by disappointment, followed by super sketchy defending.
Yep.
Followed by sad naps. So, yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, those games put an end to our playoff hopes. So now all we have left is a chance to dash Seattle's playoff hopes, potentially, this coming weekend. Do you want to talk about that first, or do you want to talk about CCL first?
Let's stay with MLS stuff.
Okay. So we're playing Seattle, up in Seattle, on Decision Day. So all the games in the Western Conference start at 5 o'clock, I believe. And they even moved the Red Bulls game from the Eastern Conference to start at 5 so that the Red Bulls and Dallas can play at the same time for the Supporter Shield, mm-hmm. which I think is a super cool idea. I'm excited to see how they make it work, you know, switching between games and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, RSL isn't the featured game. Do you know, are we going to be able to watch, are they going to have a local broadcast of that game?
As long as it's, the way it's been talked about, as long as it's not picked up by ESPN or Fox Sports, it will have the local. So, I'm assuming it's going to be local.
That'd be a good question. Maybe we should ask Real Salt Lake real quick while we're...
I'm on it.
You ask him while we're on the pod. See if we can get an answer. So, I think, isn't Beckerman out on Sunday from yellow cards?
Yes, so he will not play.
I think he's done, which is probably good for him because he's played about a gajillion minutes over the last couple of weeks. I think that's scientific. You can count him up. I think it adds up to a gajillion. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think who else. No, I think that should be our only person out. Plata might be out still, depending on how his groin heals up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, personally, if I was coaching, I'd shut down most everybody. I mean, you're not going to – it's not going to improve anything on the season. So, I'd start like Antonella, shut Nick down. I'd shut Beltran down, Javi down. Roll out the B squad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of that. I was mad when Beckerman and Morales played against Dallas because, you know, our playoff chances were already pretty much shot. I think we had like a 1% chance of making it, and you know, CCL was so much more important at that point. I would have rather rested them for that. So I definitely think that, like you say, the B squad on the turf.
Yep.
I don't expect we'd see Olave.
Nope. Shut him down. I'd shut Burrito down. Like, I want to seriously see, like, Gil, Jordan Allen, Justin Glad, Bofo go 90 minutes. Because at this point, just tell them this is a proving game. Because if somebody like Glad can go in and prove himself for 90 minutes, I mean, he's done it throughout the season. Maybe it makes it a little bit easier to just look at Olave or an older guy like that and be like, well, we have Glad.
Yeah.
And then we can spend that money somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
So.
Seattle's definitely going to want to put their best foot forward because, you know, they're still not in the playoffs. So if they lose and the other results don't go against them, then they're out.
Well, they need According to this, they need a win to get in, and they need a tie with some other results going their way.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in a pretty much must-win situation.
Yeah, and it's been funny watching them lately. They haven't looked like you would expect because of all the high-powered, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, star power that they have and the high salary, that they would be amazing. But Martins and Dempsey just look like, I don't know, like shells of their former selves. Like, they don't want to play as a team together, you know, super selfish, you know, not coming back on defense, all that kind of stuff. It's really weird. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with a 2-0 loss for RSL for the finale. I don't think we're going to go in there and get anything.
Yeah, at this point, I wouldn't be going into Coach Twin. I'd just be going in pretty much to see what I have for next year.
Yeah. I mean, yep.
I'd like to go in and beat Seattle and, like, ruin their playoff hopes in the process, but, you know, if them winning keeps Sporting out, I don't care at this point.
Yes. Well, I guess, so speaking of that, I guess as we're wrapping up MLS talk, so there's four teams left kind of vying for the last three spots. Yeah, Portland, Sporting, Seattle, San Jose. Yep. Out of those four, what is the order of preference for missing the playoffs? Like, who do you want to miss the playoffs the most?
The most? Sporting.
And then who's your second choice?
I'm going to say Seattle.
I think that's what I would go with, too. I think Sporting's number one, and then I pretty much dislike all the other teams pretty equally, but I think it would be funny if Seattle didn't win because of, like I said, the high salary they have.
Yeah, and it was kind of weird because at the start of this year, you'd look at Portland and be like personally, I was like, if RSL wasn't here, Portland would be a team that I would highly consider supporting. And now that we've ended this year with them and you can pretty much see this new rivalry starting up, you're like, I don't like Portland right now. I don't.
I don't know. They have a bunch of players that just kind of rub me wrong. I mean, I think the fan support and everything they have is amazing, but I don't know. Just rub me wrong. So, well, let's hope, you know, whoever ends up getting the playoffs, let's hope that it's a good matchup and that, you know, whoever makes it to the finals ends up being fun and it's not a blizzard game or something.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, just looking over the scheduling, adding Sporting and Houston to the West ruined a lot of things. Because, I mean, just looking over last year's, how it was, Seattle won the Supporter Shield, 64 points right now. They're fighting for that last spot with only 48 points going into the last weekend.
Yeah, let's see. I guess somebody can get to 60 points, but
yeah,
seems like that's kind of a lowish total for the Supporter Shield.
Yeah, I mean, the winner of the Supporter Shield could potentially win it with 58 points.
Yeah, that's low.
Considering in the past, last year it was 64. So you figure there's, what, 7 points out there difference? Adding two teams, which one of them's not making the playoffs in New York and the other one's fighting for that last spot with New England.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have any teams like, you know, the last couple seasons with like Montreal or DC United or Chivas who are just dumpster fires and couldn't win games to save their lives. Like, the lowest point total is 30, which, you know, again, is a pretty high total for the last place team.
Yeah, I mean, last year's worst team was Montreal with 28. And, you know, taking two tough teams like that out of the West and putting them, I mean, out of the East and putting them in the West, Montreal is now 20 points better. So,
Yeah, and I think both Orlando City and NYCFC, they'll both be better next season, you know, being the expansion team. So hopefully the disparity will even out a little bit. But
I mean, there's yeah. I mean, there's other ways that it's gone the other way. Like New England last year, 55 points. Right now they're fighting for the last spot in the East with Orlando. It's just yeah. It's amazing what shifting two teams did to an entire league.
Well, it certainly made the West a bloodbath.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk some CCL, I guess, huh?
I like CCL.
So we had our last CCL game last night. Yep. We played Municipal from Guatemala. The last home game, we won 1-0 off a Jamison Olave header. We scored off a corner. Can you believe that?
It was beautiful.
It's amazing. It's like our first one all year.
It's like the first goal in a long time.
That too. So, I don't know. We were both at that game. You made the trek up. How did you like it?
I loved the game. I liked seeing that RSL pretty much went all in with their lineup. I liked seeing and also with them going all in, they started Jordan Allen, and he actually played really well the entire game. I was impressed with how he played. Got a little fiery there in the second half, but, you know, it's good.
Yeah, I thought
it was a different team than we've seen in MLS play.
Their back line, they were ginormous. Their fullbacks, they were huge.
They were.
It was crazy. I swear their fullbacks were taller than one of their center backs.
It was like four Olaves just chilling back there.
It is ridiculous. You know, the referee, it could have been worse for sure. We didn't have any ghost, phantom, red cards or PKs or anything, so that was good. And it seemed like he was pretty consistent on not calling most everything.
Yeah.
He wouldn't call like things like people getting their ankles chopped, but people would go up for a header and the other person would, you know, shoulder bump them and like a little bit, and he would call that. So he was calling a lot of like weird minor stuff. And he was like super particular on where throw-ins were taken.
Yep.
But then he was letting people get hacked in the middle of the field. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Beltran got beat up a lot that game. A lot.
Yeah. Well, him and Jordan Allen and Morales, all that whole side.
Yeah.
Just got chopped down over and over. You know, so it seemed – so we had lots and lots of possession during the game. They had a few, counterattack chances. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the final count was on offside. It had to have been 10 or so. I mean, they were offside a lot.
They were seven.
Only seven? Really? Wow.
They were called seven. I thought I'd be double-digit.
That's still a lot. But it seemed like they pretty much conceded the flanks, or maybe we just found a lot of space there. But, I mean, Martinez and Jordan Allen, they found a lot of space coming up and down the sides.
Yep.
What was kind of disappointing is once we got the ball down the sides towards the final third, there wasn't a lot for them to do with it. Do you know what I mean? Sandoval would make a run in the box, and he was usually the only one. Something I was kind of disappointed with was, you know, Jordan Allen didn't get the ball on the side down by the in the final third as much. But say, for example, Martinez got it, you know, over and over again. And, you know, Jordan Allen, I don't remember him really crashing the box very much. And we didn't have the midfield runners coming in to crash the box. And I couldn't decide if that was by design, like because we already had a goal. We didn't want to get counterattacked. So they're like, play it safe. But I think another goal for sure would have killed that game.
Yeah. I mean, they got close plenty of times on it. they'll pull it back up. I mean, going back to what you said about only Devin was the one crashing, mm-hmm. even when Jaime came in, you kind of expected him to crash a little bit more.
Yeah.
But even he was kind of reluctant and just hung back. But
yeah, it was like Jordan would stay kind of outside on the box on the wings waiting for the ball to get switched rather yeah. than like crashing in to get across.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that seems not as effective way to attack, you know, if you only have one guy in the box all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we got off 10 shots, and out of those, 4 were on target, so.
Yeah, I don't know. One of them was a goal. I'm trying to remember what some of the other ones were. I mean, there were a lot of times where it was, like, super close, you know, crazy scrums in the box, you know, people trying to clear the ball, and, you know, Javi and Burrito kept embarrassing their defenders, you know, by yeah. playing the ball between them and between legs and back and forth. And that was fun, but
even Tony got in on it a few times.
Yeah. He had a sweet, I don't know what you call that, where you pass it on the one side of the guy and run around the other side.
Yeah. And then where I was sitting, he nutmegged one guy. I remember that right in front of me.
That's cool. So,
I mean, Tony acted like he was Javi last night.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, so with that result, we ended up with 10 points, which put us through to the next round. Right now, we're in fourth place, I guess. LA is playing right now as we speak. They're in the 90th minute, and they're winning.
1-0.
1-0 off of Alan Gordon goal. He might win the golden boot.
I'm going to assume that they're going to win this game.
Yeah, you would think they're going to hold on. But so if that, assuming that result holds, LA would win, they would be the top seed going forward.
Yep.
And that would put them in a matchup with the Sounders going into the next round, which is exciting. We would end up playing Tigres, UANL. Don't ask me to say the Spanish words for what that stands for. Universidad something, something, something.
Santos.
What?
We'll just call him Santos.
No, that's different. Santos Laguna is a different. UANL is Tigres. That's who the the interim Mexican national team coach? Isn't that who he coaches? I think that's who he coaches. Yeah. Ferrari? Is that his name?
Yeah. But I think with a win, we get Santos, right? An LA win?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I was looking at that wrong. Yeah, we do get Santos. That sucks.
I don't. Yeah, Santos.
Santos Laguna. Oh, man.
It'll be fun.
We'll be the fourth seed. They'll be the fifth seed. So theoretically, the away leg will be first in Mexico at the end of February, which is a good place to play in February if you have to play a game in February.
Yes.
And then sometime after that, hopefully well into March, we'll have a home game against them.
Yeah. Well, and Santos is I guess you could say they're a proven team.
Mm.
Because, I mean, their group stage was also a Saprissa.
Yeah, they crushed Saprissa their last game. So if Saprissa would have won that last game, they would have advanced. But I think Santos won 6-1, I think.
Something crazy like that. I mean,
yeah, 6-1.
Yeah, I mean, but Saprissa's no easy team, I guess.
No. Kind of the goal for seems like when you go into the Mexico Mexican stadiums, you just got to try and not get crushed.
Yeah.
And well, then come back.
It looks like we might not be playing Santos.
Why? Did the Comunicaciones score a goal? Oh, they scored.
No Santos for us.
Oh, we get Tigres instead.
That makes me feel a whole lot better.
Yeah, I would say Santos is a stronger team than Tigres as of right now, but I mean, we're going to be playing at the, I don't know, a couple weeks into their spring season. So their teams could be totally different by then.
Yeah.
Santos. It's a final. It was a draw. That's hilarious. So now, what does that mean? That means Club America is playing Seattle. DC United is playing Querétaro. We're playing Tigres.
Yep.
Santos is playing LA. So it's all U.S. versus Mexico games.
And you know what? Good for LA and Seattle. I like who they're paired up with.
Yeah, I mean, the one positive side, you know, my brother-in-law was telling me about, you know, we were talking about it, and he was like, you know, if we're paired up with Mexican sides, the potential for eliminating more Mexican teams is higher.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, obviously we could, you know, the MLS teams could obviously get eliminated quicker too, but,
yeah,
you know, could you imagine if, you know, a bunch of the MLS, you know, a bunch of us won, you know, eliminate the Mexican sides early. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, just on paper, Seattle versus Club America.
That'll be good. Like,
that's going to be good games right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then LA gets Santos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. It's like we dodged the two biggest bullets and gave them to
LA, like
willingly gave them off.
LA is going to have two away games, man. I bet you their stadium's going to be packed with Santos fans for the home game.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good on them. I'm proud of them.
Well, that'll be exciting. It's fun that all the MLS teams, all the U.S. MLS teams advanced. Obviously, Vancouver couldn't advance because they're in the same group as Seattle who advanced. But kind of a funny story. I wanted to give you a little lessons learned from my experience of the Champions League game. So I sit in the north goal. And back in the day, we used to go down to the south goal all the time because there would be open seats down there.
In like games like where half the fans show up.
Yeah. So when we would go towards the other goal, towards the south goal, we would walk down to that end and sit in those seats so we could see what the action was, right? Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to do that for, I don't know, a year or two because the stadium's always full. Well, last night, the stadium wasn't packed. I mean, there was a lot of people there, but there were open seats, right?
Yeah.
So the first half, we sat in our goal because they were coming at us. Second half, we decided, hey, let's go down to the south end like we always do. So we picked out a section that seriously had like one row of people in it, and that was all. So we go sit down. 5 or 10 minutes into the second half, this guy and girl come up and tell two of the people with us that we were in their seats. Okay, that's fine, right? No big deal, right? Well, I mean, I would think that's not a big deal. They're like, yeah, okay. They stood up, went, you know, sat in some other empty seats because there were tons all around, right? Tons of empty seats. But this guy, the guy just was jawing the entire time about how we're not in our own seats, they're season seats, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he just kept going on and on and on, right? So we're watching the second half and he's standing the entire time because we're in the upper section of the south end. The lower section stands the whole time, but he was this upper section. I mean, sure you can stand, but he was standing. Anyway, so my friends decided to move down to the other end of the row. So, you know, just to kind of get away from him. So they go down to the other end and he's still jawing like those aren't your seats either. So I get up and tell him that he needs to, you know, chill and that it doesn't matter. And so we got into a little bit of a verbal exchange and I guess two morals to the story. One, if the stadium's not full and someone wants to sit somewhere, if it's your seat and then they move, it's not a big deal, right? We're all cheering for the same team. Mm-hmm. We're all on the same side. We're all friends, right? There's no need to get into a fight with another RSL fan. I've broken up actually a couple fights this year between RSL fans that are getting in at each other, which is stupid because we're all on the same side.
Yep.
Second, when you're trying to, you know, get someone to calm down, I went at him really aggressively, which was not the right choice. I should have been much more calm, but, you know, I escalated it. So hindsight, be calm. Near the end of the game, he had realized that he was being an idiot and he came over and apologized to it, which was big of him. He didn't need to do that, but well, he kind of did, but most people wouldn't have done that. But anyway, so that was my almost fight experience, which was just pointless because there were seats everywhere and he was mad that we were sitting by him.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along with what I noticed a lot of in the few games I went to this year. The fan base is kind of, I guess, evolved. It's different now. People aren't like, I remember in the past it used to be kind of like a, I guess brotherhood's the best word to use, where fans would just like rally together and stuff, and you kind of felt like you were all part of this huge support group and family. And now when you show up, it's like division lines drawn. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, seems like there's a lot more animosity between fans. And, you know, some of it I think is, you know, where the team's not doing as good, a lot of people get down on the team, you know, start mocking players or coaches or different things like that, right? And not all fans feel like that. And so then, you know, you start getting into disagreements, different things like that. And
yeah.
I don't know. You know, we had another almost fight by us earlier in the season where we had some people who, you know, they just bought some seats by us. They were, you know, 20-something-ish guys, and they were just yelling at the goalie the whole game. They weren't swearing or anything. They were just, you know, every time he'd get the ball, they'd just start, you know, yelling his name and stuff. And the people a couple rows back, for whatever reason, just went crazy. And, you know, it's like, we're all on the same side. It's not, what are we doing? We're trying to support the team. Like, we don't need to be trying to kill each other.
Do you think it might have something to do with the fact that I'd probably say 2008, roughly 2009 for sure. We've just been a very successful pro team. And this year was kind of not what we were used to. We wasn't used to losing. We wasn't used to having to, I guess, just deal with the fact that we're not good enough to be inside the playoffs.
Yeah. We do have a lot of knowledgeable fans, a lot of fans that understand soccer, but, I mean, there are a lot of fans that come that either don't know soccer or think they know it and they don't, mm-hmm. Or are just too rash in their decisions and judgments, you know, of things.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as, you know, like, you know, there have been people who've been yelling for Kassar to get fired for months, or, you know, people that hated Sabo for, you know, the whole time he was here, just things that like don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's frustrating. I don't think that social media helps in a lot of ways, because it's almost like those people all get together on Facebook and then it just festers.
Yeah.
If you want to ever feel like driving your car off a bridge, go ahead and read through some Facebook comments.
Yeah. And even on Twitter, it gets bad on there also. I mean, it's not exclusively to one.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, not just Facebook. I mean, Reddit is bad, too. I mean, I'm not on Reddit. I don't read the Facebook comments, and the people I follow on Twitter are generally pretty positive. So I try and avoid that because stupid people drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant for the day. One other thing. Do we have time for another thing? So if any of you guys listen to On Frame, if you're listening to our podcast, I hope you're listening to On Frame because, you know.
They do awesome over there.
Yeah, it's the team's podcast. Anyway, I sent in a bunch of questions for him this week, and they used a couple of them at the end. I wasn't the one, the first question that was about how the team had given up or something. That wasn't me, so don't get angry at me for that one. Mm-hmm. I did ask a question about our ticket pricing, and I want to talk about that a little bit. I asked him if, you know, the league had any say in ticket pricing models and if we were heading towards Premier League or Bundesliga ticket pricing. And I think they kind of misunderstood what I was saying, or they don't realize the difference. What I was asking was, you know, Premier League pricing is really high, and it's really hard for like normal people to afford tickets to like a soccer game over there. Mm-hmm. The Bundesliga's ticket approach is we're keeping the tickets really cheap because without fans, there isn't soccer. And so, you know, by keeping the ticket prices really low, that's how you get like the yellow wall at Dortmund or, you know, I mean, even Bayern Munich tickets are, you know, super low. And, you know, I was just wondering if they had any thoughts on if they thought MLS was going to keep raising ticket prices like Premier League does, or if they would try and keep more of a supporters environment. I mean, if we end up paying $100 a ticket for a game, I mean, families aren't going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the young single adults who do most of the supporters groups, I mean, that might be out of their price range too. I mean, then you just start getting corporate people, right?
Yeah. Well, put it this way. I mean, I'm looking at StubHub, so it's a secondary market.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up Manchester United tickets, and the cheapest ticket they have is £34, which roughly equals out to $52.
Mm-hmm.
So if the league's headed that way, it might be harder for them to sell out or do anything. I mean, it's kind of
ridiculous. I did see, one second. I saw there was a chart. Let me see if I can hurry and find it. I should have pulled this up before, but so the average price for the cheapest ticket in Bundesliga is $10. And the average price for the cheapest ticket in the Premier League is about, sorry, this is pounds, £10 versus £28.
Which equals out to roughly, see, £10.
Yeah, so it's about 200 pounds for a season ticket for the cheapest ticket in the Bundesliga, right? It's $200.
$308.
Yeah, so that's great, right?
Yeah.
And it's about 470 pounds for the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I was just curious, you know, if they had any thoughts on that. They, you know, and they talked about a lot of different things about, you know, what the ticket pricing is for. And, you know, the league doesn't have really, they haven't put a say in, you know, they talked about how our tickets will probably always be cheaper than say LA or Seattle and stuff because we aren't spending the money that they are.
Yeah.
But I just hope the league as a whole doesn't keep increasing prices to force the fan demographic to change.
Yeah. And I know it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges, but right now for Real Salt Lake, the cheapest season ticket you can pick up is $260. And that gets you, counting the bonus games and the MLS games, 20 home games. I mean, and then there's other things like discounts inside the team store and meet the team nights and just different things like that.
Yeah.
But when you go to like the other pro team here, which is the Utah Jazz, mm-hmm. their tickets start at $205 for season tickets, their cheapest, and they get 44 games. Not counting playoffs.
Yeah, but the nosebleed section at Energy Solutions Arena is a lot different than sitting in the supporter section at Rio Tinto.
Yeah, but, you know, just saying. I mean, I know it's comparing apples to oranges, but
Yeah, because well, I was going to say, at Energy Solutions, if you come from the nosebleed, the ticket prices go up really quick as you move down.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you took the average season ticket price for an RSL game versus the average ticket price for a Jazz game, they'd probably be, you know, Jazz would probably be way higher.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to count the Lions Club, which is $8,000 a season ticket, but $3,000 for, I'm not even going to count that because that's a suite. So you figure your average ticket is $1,600, whereas with the Jazz, they go up to just reserved upper bowl. The most you'll pay is $1,700. And when you go to the lower bowl, it starts at $1,600 but goes as high as $6,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's apples to oranges, but, you know, it might also just be a positive sign if our, I guess, like what you're going back to, the average, because if the Jazz are going to play a lower team that's, you know, not contending year in and year out, you might pick up those tickets in the secondary market for like $2-3. I mean, I've done it before. Whereas Real Salt Lake, it's consistently, the secondary market's consistent in the same pricing. And so it's probably also a positive sign for MLS that shows that they are actually growing.
You know that the most expensive season ticket to Barcelona is £634. That's the most expensive. That's like the best seats.
How much?
£634. So it's like $900, $1,000.
$978.
Yeah, that's cheap. The cheapest season ticket is £172. Like for Barcelona.
Which would equal out to roughly sections 21, 36, and 3 sitting up in front. Which, I love soccer, but I hate sitting front row of soccer. So,
oh, you mean the Barcelona most expensive tickets?
Yeah, compared to, yeah, straight across to RSL season tickets.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
And you're guaranteed games against Real Madrid also.
Yeah.
So, keep them cheap.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, if you're looking at, like, you know, the cheapest tickets, like Arsenal, is like £1,000. That's the cheapest season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, no wonder their atmospheres aren't really the best, because the people that can afford it aren't going to be the, you know, the ones that give you a good atmosphere.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do some more research. I know Seattle, on average, has the highest amount of attendance. I'm pulling it up right now to see what their season tickets generally run.
Hmm. I wish they had that in this article, but it's only the European League, so.
Yeah, I'd love to see how it actually compares straight across to, yeah, other teams. And they're, they don't, they're not showing ticket prices.
Maybe I'll have to ask the author to do it again and add on. Oh, this was even a couple of years ago. This story was from 2013. So they're probably higher now. But.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got anything else you want to talk about?
Not that I can think of. I mean, we're headed into the end of the season. So next week, I think we're just going to pretty much run down how the entire season went as a whole. Probably give out some awards.
Some verbal awards.
Yeah. I mean, and then for the off season, whoever you guys want to hear. I mean, we're not guaranteeing, if you ask us get Landon Donovan on, we're not guaranteeing we're going to get you Landon Donovan. But we'll try getting Landon Donovan on. We're all about effort.
You mean if they ask?
Yes, if they ask, I will go ask. So
maybe I'll do do some efforting, see if they have any rules against, like, see if Beckerman or somebody will do a pod special with us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know I have two of them set up for, one of them for end of this November. It's going to be great. It'll be cool when he comes on. So.
Okay.
Good times.
I don't even know who it is, so it's a surprise for me too.
Secrets.
All right. Well, you guys have been listening to Touchline Podcast. I'm sure you already know. Episode 25. I'm Rich. You can get me at Twitter at @Frisbee_Rich.
And I'm Brett. I'm at @A24Brett and at @Touchline_TBS.
Like I say, if you guys have any questions or if you guys want us to talk about anything in the off season or just any other time, or feel free to get at us on Twitter.
Yeah. Like Thanks I said, if you ask, we will effort.
Mm-hmm. All right. Have a good night, guys. Peace out.
Later.